First of all, I would like to say thank you for having me here today. I'm glad to be able to be here and to show you the video and tell you what I'm going to tell you tonight. And what I would like to start with is explaining, really, in introducing the video, where the verse in the prayer card comes from, which, as you will see when you pick it up, is from 1 Chronicles 29. So I'm going to start by reading you a couple of verses from 1 Chronicles 29. And I'm going to start reading at verse 10, 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. It says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own." When I was in Sunday school, in my early teens, we studied the life of David, and as it came near to the end of the year, we were getting to the point, you will all know the story, where David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, and he could not, because the Lord said he was a bloody man, he was a man of war, and therefore he made preparation instead for his son Solomon to be able to build it. And in the course of that study, one week, we ended up in 1 Chronicles 29 reading those verses that I've just read to you. And I was struck particularly by verse 14, which says, "Who am I that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." And it was nothing that I did not already know. But I sat there that day and I realized again, and in a special way, how that everything that we are and everything that we have is already God's. And so when we come to talk about giving it to him, we're not giving him anything that he does not already own. He has the right to all of us, because who we are and what we have today, we are only the people that we are because God has made us that person. And it wasn't a call to mission work as such. If you had told me at that stage that I would be standing in Port Glenone tonight and doing a deputation video, I don't think I would quite have believed you. But that verse has been in the back of my mind whenever I have been knowing that I had to face decisions about the future. It was that verse that I was thinking about when I went to teach in Newton Abbey Independent Christian School. It was that verse that I was thinking of when I applied to the mission board. It was that verse that was in when I came out, when I was coming out of the end of the Whitfield course, and I knew that I had to face what happened afterwards in the future. But not just in the big decisions that I've come across, because I find that this verse helps me to live day to day. And you as Christians will understand what I mean when I say that, that whatever we do with ourselves in the weekdays and the Sundays and the in-betweens of the big things, we do it because we want to glorify God and because we want to give back to him what he has given us. And so when I start talking about Kenya and what plans I have and what I hope to do there, it isn't really so far removed from what you're trying to do here, because both of us, wherever we are, we're trying to simply serve God with what we have and do what pleases him and what is best going to glorify him with our lives that he has given us. But the other thing that I want to say while we're in 1 Chronicles is from 1 Chronicles 22. It's 1 Chronicles 22, verse 15, and it's David speaking to Solomon. He says, "Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work." And then he says, "Arise therefore and be doing, and the Lord be with thee." And I want to take this opportunity now, while I'm standing here, to say thank you. Because it was Solomon who gets all the credit of building the temple, and he was the person at Jerusalem who saw it all coming together and saw the actual temple being erected on the mount. But really, most of the work was done far away from Jerusalem. It was done where the trees were being cut down and the stones were being carved, and these workmen in abundance were doing the actual work, the hard work, without which the temple would never have been built in its place. And it was done by hundreds of men whose names aren't recorded in Scripture. And as I think back over the last few years, when I've been studying in the Whitfield and going around churches and planning for the future, I think the thing that has stood out to me most that I have learnt was not something that came out of a Whitfield course or out of a textbook. It is the privilege of being able to know that people like you are praying for me. And I have been here in Port Glenone, and you've told me that you would pray for me. And I knew that you meant it, because I have come to do things over the last 3 years, and I knew when I was starting them that I was not able to do them. And I've known all the way through that I was not able to do them. But God has given me the strength and the ability and the power that I needed, and the grace day by day. And he has done that because you were praying for me back here, because you were doing the work. And I want to say thank you today for the prayer and the support you have given me in the past, and to ask you to keep on praying. Keep on praying for what I'm about to show you in the video, and keep on praying that the Lord will enable me to use the life that he has given me to glorify him. Thank you.
In my teens, I started to have a sense that God might be calling me to be a missionary. It would have been a shock for me to move 15 minutes down the road, let alone to cross a continent. I was born and brought up in Lisburn. I've lived there all my life. For the first 3 years, Mum and Dad had a house in the town, and then they bought this house out in the country, and that's where I've spent most of my life that I can remember. I'm the oldest of five siblings. I have three brothers, Jonathan, Alex and Daniel. I prayed for a long time for a sister, and I'd given up hope. And then, when I was 15, Helen came along. I'm aware that when I go away, Helen is going to be in her mid-teens by the time I'm back. For as long as I can remember, I had known that God was interested in people, that God had revealed himself to us, that Jesus Christ was God's son and he'd come into the world to die for our sins. And I knew about words like sin and punishment and forgiveness, and I'd memorized scripture, but it didn't mean a lot to me at that stage. One day, Mum had to rebuke me for something I did wrong. And just suddenly, I realised that this sin thing that Mum and Dad talked about wasn't just what happened when I disobeyed Mum or did something that angered Dad. It was disobeying God. I realised suddenly that I deserved hell for my sin, and it scared me. I had learnt that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I prayed and I asked the Lord to forgive my sin, and he did. When you grow up and you're going with your parents to children's meetings or Bible clubs that are being held in the summer, there comes a stage when you're too old to be the child in the Bible club, and quite gradually, imperceptibly, I turned into a leader in the Bible club. I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. I was convinced enough that I wouldn't consider any other career choice. I wanted to be trained as a teacher, and I wanted to be trained in Christian education specifically. So the natural thing was to apply to our church's presbytery for training under them. I love the coming in every day and teaching and not being quite sure how the lesson is going to go. I find it really rewarding as well. When I was coming to the end of the Masters in Education, I knew it would be a natural part both to stop studying and go to the Whitfield if that was the path that I was certain the Lord wanted me to follow. The Lord confirmed to me several times that it was the right time to move on. When I went into the college, I had committed that I was absolutely certain the Lord was calling me to work as a missionary. I had no idea where exactly. The Lord gave me two verses at the start of college. One was that Abraham went out not knowing whither he went, and the other one was in Isaiah 45, that he would go before me and make the crooked places straight. When I started to worry about the fact that I didn't know what was coming yet, he would remind me that he was going before me and it would be straight when I got there. But I didn't need to know right then. I'd been out to visit other African fields, Liberia and Uganda. And when I was coming to the end of the college journey, there was a suggestion from the mission board that I should visit Kenya as well. And up until that point, I had had a rather inexplicable blind spot completely for Kenya. The more time I spent there and the more I watched what was happening, the more I became convinced that that was where I was supposed to go. The Pattersons were very good at opening up what they were doing, making it obvious to me, including me in explanations of what was going on. I would keep looking at stuff like the bookshop's work or even Malcolm doing paperwork and thinking, okay, this is something that I could be doing in the future, and I could not shake this feeling that I was supposed to come back there. It got stronger and stronger through the trip, and the last weekend I was there, I prayed specifically that God would give me something as clear as Paul's Macedonian call if he wanted me to come back to Kenya. That Sunday, Mr. Patterson was preaching in a church and he said, turn to Acts 16. And I thought, well, I didn't mean specifically the Macedonian call, but I'll take it. It was a moment very much like the moment when I knew it was time to apply to the mission board. It was completely certain that I was doing exactly what the Lord wanted me to do. That all happened very quickly, and then suddenly I was home again. and I told my family. There's a bit of a difference to know that someone's considering something and to have it down in black and white. If this is the best thing for God to plan for my life, it's also the best thing for him to plan for their lives. He knows what he's doing. Kenya's a beautiful country. It's an incredibly fertile country. It's one where my chief memories of it are of plants, the flame trees at the bottom of the Shamba. There's just so much beauty everywhere you turn. I feel it's a huge privilege to be able to go to Glory Bible Church, which is already a maturing church, an established church, which already has mature Christians and people with years of experience in serving Christ. We're going to go out as a team of missionaries, but we're also going to join an established team of Christian workers who are already there. I shared classes with Glenn in college. I've got to know Emma and the family over the past while, and obviously now that we're going out, we're doing a big focus on team building and getting to know each other well. And I've really enjoyed that. I hope whenever we get out, we'll be able to work as well together as we have been so far. We'll be able to know how to work with each other and how to use the knowledge of our strengths and our weaknesses to accomplish much more than we would be able to do individually. For me, the burden I have for the work in Kenya and for the Glory Bible Church is the children, because in 30 or 40 years' time, they will be the adults. The people who are children now in Sunday schools and in families in the Glory Bible Church will be the pastors and the elders and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers of the future. And in order for Glory Bible Church to be established as a strong church and one that can witness for Christ in Kenya, these children need to be taught and discipled and strengthened now. Glory Bible Church is at this really exciting stage, actually, where it's already expanding. It's starting to move forward, plant new churches. And with that, there's going to come an increase in the children's work. There will be more Sunday schools with the churches. There will be more children's works. There will be more Sunday school teachers to be trained. A lot of the work that has been done already in Kenya has focused on building up a very strong literature ministry, both for believers and for training pastors and Christian workers, and reaching out to unbelievers as well. And the bookshops, by their existence in Kitale and Kakamega as well, are also places of outreach and witness and gathering places in some cases for the church. I've seen in my visits what a useful work the bookshop ministry is doing, and I hope there's a way for me to be supportive of it and to be involved in it. I was able to spend time while I was there at the nursery school in Nyuporo and watch it functioning. It's at a very early stage of development and getting established, but I would hope that when I'm there, I would be able to provide support for it. When I was there, I couldn't help but be aware of the immense burden of time that it takes simply to run and administer a mission in a country. I expect I will have to be involved with some of the administrative work and the burden of just keeping things running smoothly. I'm really enjoying the process of studying Swahili right now. I think it's a beautiful language. I love the structure of it. I love the sound of it. The thing with Swahili is I've learnt other languages, but never to a point of fluency where I could go and live in a country and speak that language. I'm obviously very, very excited about going forward. This is what I want to do. I'm totally confident that this is the Lord's will for me. Therefore, whatever I do, will be the best thing for me and will give me more joy than anything else could ever have done. I'm aware that when it comes time to leave home, that will be an emotional journey, and it will take a while for me to get used to that, if I ever do. Whatever I get by obeying God is worth much more than anything that I would have got anywhere else. This isn't completely straight yet, because there are still things I can't see. I don't think it'll ever come a point where I can look forward and see, this is how the rest of my life is going to be. But I will be able to look forward all the time and say, he'll go before me. And when I come to the place that looked crooked from beforehand, I'll be able to follow him. I went to Kenya not thinking I'd go back, and I left Kenya not wanting to go home.
What I'm going to do now is ask you to pray for some specific things about going out. So that will have given you a broad idea, hopefully, of who I am and what I want to go to Kenya to do. But practical things that I want you to pray for. The first one is not Kenya. I'm at the start of a group of deputations, and I'm not, unfortunately, always going to be able to count on Dad coming to drive me. So I pray that I would get there and be able to find the places. Our family has a joke that I could get lost in our backyard. And they're not completely wrong in it. Hence why I was so happy when Dad volunteered to come to Port Glenoon with me. But pray that I would have safe travels and that I would get to the churches on time and be able to find them. Well, the biggest thing that I would like you to pray for right now about my preparation for going out to Kenya is that I would be able to learn Swahili. There is a certain amount of distance that English will take you in Kenya. A lot of the adults speak it. But it's not the language they use in their day-to-day life. It's not the language they pray in. It's not the language they want to hear sermons in or read their Bibles in. And therefore, it's really important for us all, Glenn and Emma and myself, that we should be able to speak Swahili as quickly as possible. And we can do a certain amount now out of textbooks. We're obviously not going to be able to learn it properly, so to speak, until we are there and until we can speak to people and interact. But pray that as much as is possible, we would be able to learn now, because the more we have and the more we know, the easier it will be for us when we are in Kenya to actually join in life with them and join in the services, things like that. Pray that we would be able to absorb, once we get there, the culture as well as the language, because we need to learn Swahili, but we also need to get accustomed to Kenyan ways of thinking and acting and interacting with each other so that we can join in the life of the church and so that we can interact with and understand the people around us. Pray for the logistics of planning for it, that first of all, that I would be able to go to Kenya, that this would work, and for the practical side of things as well, obtaining work permits and getting visas and getting permission, that that would all fall into place at the right time so that I can go. I would like to ask you to pray for my family and I, that we will all be prepared for the adjustment of me moving away from home. Pray for Glenn and Emma and I, as we're planning to go out, that we would be able to continue to build good relationships as a team, that we would be prepared to work together and to live as neighbours, and that they would be able to put up with me. Pray that as we discuss what roles and responsibilities I might have in the future, that God would give all of us involved in those discussions wisdom and discernment to make the right decisions, and that he would equip me for what I need to do. I know that I cannot do it. I cannot do any of the things that we're planning to do, but pray that God will make me able when the time comes to carry out his work in the best way that I can. Pray that Glenn and Emma and I would be able to fit smoothly into the team that is already there in Kenya, the pastors and the Sunday school teachers and the children's workers. It has been a hard year for the Glory Bible Church in terms of adjustments because Reverend and Mrs. Patterson have just retired within the last couple of weeks and come back. There will be a void left that they are feeling their absence now. They are looking forward to Glenn and Emma going out, and then hopefully after that, myself going out. And that is a time of great change and adjustment for them. You know what it's like in any circumstance to have to suddenly adjust to new people and new ways of working and start to work efficiently as a team, and sometimes that can take time. So pray that they will find it an easy adjustment and that we will be able to slot in effectively. And the thing that I would like you to pray for most of all, actually, is for the children's work in the Glory Bible Church that is going on right now. Before I go out, there is an established children's work. And I would like you to pray for the Sunday school teachers there this Sunday and the next and the week by week, that they would be given help and wisdom by God to teach the children. That God would save the children, because ultimately that is the aim of all the rest of these prayer requests. Because they're all incidentals that we want to fall into place so that we can see God work in Kenya and so that he can save these children now, and pray that he would strengthen and disciple them now so that they will grow up to be men and women of God, and so that the Lord will use them in the future to build his church in Kenya. And that is the one that needs the most prayer, because it is something that I can't do and something that no Sunday school teacher in Kenya can do. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to see that happen. And pray, most of all, please, that the Lord will save the children. Thank you.